Chapter 128. Change for the worse, Mr. Trotter, as the gentleman said, when he got two doubtful shillings and sixpence or so pocket pieces for a good half crown. Apostrophe it is indeed, apostrophe, replied Job, shaking his head. There is no deception now, Mr. Weller. Tears, apostrophe, said Job, with a look of momentary slyness. Tears are not the only proofs of distress, nor the best ones. Apostrophe, no, they ain't, apostrophe, replied Sam expressively. They may be put on, Mr. Weller, apostrophe, said Job. I know they may, apostrophe, said Sam. Some people, indeed, has 'em always ready laid on, and can pull out the plug whenever they likes. Apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, replied Job. But these sort of things are not so easily counterfeited, Mr. Weller, and it is a more painful process to get them up. Apostrophe, as he spoke, he pointed to his sallow, sunken cheeks, and, drawing up his coat sleeve, disclosed an arm which looked as if the bone could be broken at a touch, so sharp and brittle did it appear, beneath its thin covering of flesh. What have you been a-doing to yourself? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sam, recoiling. Nothing, apostrophe, replied Job. No then. Apostrophe, apostrophe, echoed Sam. I have been doing nothing for many weeks past, apostrophe, said Job, and eating and drinking almost as little. Apostrophe, Sam took one comprehensive glance at Mr. Trotter's thin face and wretched apparel, and then, seizing him by the arm, commenced dragging him away with great violence. Where are you going, Mr. Weller? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Job, vainly struggling in the powerful grasp of his old enemy. Come on, apostrophe, said Sam, come on. Apostrophe, he deigned no further explanation till they reached the tap, and then called for a pot of porter, which was speedily produced. Now, apostrophe, said Sam, drink that up, every drop on it, and then turn the pot upside down, to let me see as you've took the medicine. Apostrophe, but, my dear Mr. Weller, apostrophe, remonstrated Job. Down with it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sam peremptorily. Thus admonished, Mr. Trotter raised the pot to his lips, and, by gentle and almost imperceptible degrees, tilted it into the air. He paused once, and only once, to draw a long breath, but without raising his face from the vessel, which, in a few moments thereafter, he held out at arm's length, bottom upward. Nothing fell upon the ground, but a few particles of froth, which slowly detached themselves from the rim, and trickled lazily down. Well done! Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sam. How do you find yourself after it? Apostrophe, better, sir. I think I am better, apostrophe, responded Job. Oh, course you there, apostrophe, said Sam argumentatively. It's like putting gas in a balloon. I can see with the naked eye that you get stouter under the operation. What do you say to another of the same dimensions? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I would rather not, I am much obliged to you, sir, apostrophe, replied Job, much rather not. Apostrophe, well then, what do you say to some widows? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Sam. Thanks to your worthy governor, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Trotter, we have half a leg of mutton, baked, at a quarter before three, with the potatoes under it to save boiling. Apostrophe, what? Has he been a purwitin' for you? Apostrophe, asked Sam emphatically. He has, sir, apostrophe, replied Job. More than that, Mr. Weller, my master being very ill, he got us a room we were in a kennel before and paid for it, sir, and come to look at us, at night, when nobody should know. Mr. Weller, apostrophe, said Job, with real tears in his eyes, for once, I could serve that gentleman till I fell down dead at his feet. Apostrophe, I say. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sam, I'll trouble you, my friend. None of that. Apostrophe, Job Trotter looked amazed. None of that, I say, young feller, apostrophe, repeated Sam firmly. No man serves him but me. And now we're upon it. I'll let you into another secret besides that, apostrophe said Sam, as he paid for the beer. I never heard, mind you, or read of in storybooks, nor see in pictures, any angel in tights and gaiters, not even in spectacles, as I remember, though that may have been done for anything I know to the contrary, but mark my words, Job Trotter, he's a reglar thoroughbred angel for all that. And let me see the man as winters to tell me he knows a better vun. Apostrophe with this defiance, Mr. Weller buttoned up his change in a side pocket, and, with many confirmatory nods and gestures by the way, proceeded in search of the subject of discourse. They found Mr. Pickwick, in company with Jingle, talking very earnestly, and not bestowing a look on the groups who were congregated on the racket ground. They were very motley groups too, and worth the looking at, if it were only in idle curiosity. Well, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, as Sam and his companion drew nigh, you will see how your health becomes, and think about it meanwhile. Make the statement out for me, when you feel yourself equal to the task, and I will discuss the subject with you, when I have considered it. Now, go to your room. You are tired, and not strong enough to be out long. Apostrophe, Mr. Alfred Jingle, without one spark of his old animation, with nothing even of the dismal gaiety which he had assumed, when Mr. Pickwick first stumbled on him in his misery, bowed low without speaking, and, motioning to Job not to follow him just yet, crept slowly away. Curious scene this, is it not, Sam? Apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, looking good-humoredly round. Worry much so, sir, apostrophe replied Sam. Wonders'll never cease, apostrophe added Sam, speaking to himself. I'm worry much mistaken, if that ear jingle warn't a doin' something in the water cart way. Apostrophe, the area formed by the wall in that part of the fleet in which Mr. Pickwick stood was just wide enough to make a good racket court. One side being formed, of course, by the wall itself, and the other by that portion of the prison which looked, or rather would have looked, but for the wall, towards St. Paul's Cathedral. Sauntering or sitting about, in every possible attitude of listless idleness, were a great number of debtors, the major part of whom were waiting in prison until their day of going up before the insolvent court should arrive. While others had been remanded for various terms, which they were idling away as they best could. Some were shabby, some were smart, many dirty, a few clean, but there they all lounged, and loitered, and slunk about with as little spirit or purpose as the beasts in a menagerie. Lolling from the windows which commanded a view of this promenade were a number of persons, some in noisy conversation with their acquaintance below, others playing at ball with some adventurous throwers outside, others looking on at the racket players, or watching the boys as they cried the game. Dirty, slipshod women passed and repassed, on their way to the cooking house in one corner of the yard. Children screamed, and fought, and played together, in another, the tumbling of the skittles, and the shouts of the players, mingled perpetually with these and a hundred other sounds, and all was noise and tumult save in a little miserable shed a few yards off, where lay, all quiet and ghastly, the body of the Chancery prisoner who had died the night before, awaiting the mockery of an inquest. The body. It is the lawyer's term for the restless, whirling mass of cares and anxieties, affections, hopes, and griefs, that make up the living man. The law had his body, and there it lay, clothed in grave clothes, an awful witness to its tender mercy. Would you like to see a whistling shop, sir? Apostrophe inquired Job Trotter. What do you mean? Apostrophe was Mr. Pickwick's counter-inquiry. A whistling shop, sir, apostrophe interposed Mr. Weller. What is that, Sam? A bird fancier's? Apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick. Bless your heart, no, sir, apostrophe replied Job. A whistling shop, sir, is where they sell spirits. Apostrophe Mr. Job Trotter briefly explained here that all persons, being prohibited under heavy penalties from conveying spirits into debtors' prisons, and such commodities being highly prized by the ladies and gentlemen confined there, it had occurred to some speculative turnkey to connive, for certain lucrative considerations, at two or three prisoners retailing the favorite article of gin, for their own profit and advantage. This plan, you see, sir, has been gradually introduced into all the prisons for debt, apostrophe said Mr. Trotter. And it has this worry great advantage, apostrophe said Sam, that the turnkeys takes worry good care to seize hold o' everybody but them as pays 'em, that attempts the willainy, and when it gets in the papers they're applauded for their vigilance. So it cuts two ways, frightens other people from the trade, and elevates their own characters. Apostrophe, exactly so, Mr. Weller, apostrophe observed Job. Well, but are these rooms never searched to ascertain whether any spirits are concealed in them? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Certainly they are, sir, apostrophe replied Sam. But the turnkeys knows beforehand, and gives the word to the whistlers, and you may whistle for it when you go to look. Apostrophe, by this time, Job had tapped at a door, which was opened by a gentleman with an uncombed head, who bolted it after them, when they had walked in, and grinned, upon which Job grinned, and Sam also, whereupon Mr. Pickwick, thinking it might be expected of him, kept on smiling to the end of the interview. The gentleman with the uncombed head appeared quite satisfied with this mute announcement of their business, and, producing a flat stone bottle, which might hold about a couple of quarts, from beneath his bedstead, filled out three glasses of gin, which Job Trotter and Sam disposed of in a most workmanlike manner. Any more? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the whistling gentleman. No more, apostrophe replied Job Trotter. Mr. Pickwick paid, the door was unbolted, and out they came, the uncombed gentleman bestowing a friendly nod upon Mr. Roker, who happened to be passing at the moment. From this spot, Mr. Pickwick wandered along all the galleries, up and down all the staircases, and once again round the whole area of the yard. The great body of the prison population appeared to be Mivens, and Smangle, and the parson, and the butcher, and the leg, over and over, and over again. There were the same squalor, the same turmoil and noise, the same general characteristics, in every corner, in the best and the worst alike. The whole place seemed restless and troubled, and the people were crowding and flitting to and fro, like the shadows in an uneasy dream. I have seen enough, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, as he threw himself into a chair in his little apartment. My head aches with these scenes, and my heart too. Henceforth I will be a prisoner in my own room. Apostrophe, and Mr. Pickwick steadfastly adhered to this determination. For 3 long months he remained shut up, all day, only stealing out at night to breathe the air, when the greater part of his fellow prisoners were in bed or carousing in their rooms. His health was beginning to suffer from the closeness of the confinement, but neither the often repeated entreaties of Perker and his friends, nor the still more frequently repeated warnings and admonitions of Mr. Samuel Weller, could induce him to alter one jot of his inflexible resolution. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.